Well, praise the Lord. Glad to be able to come and be with y'all tonight. We had our fourth Sunday, and so we just usually don't have any service at night on fourth Sunday, just morning and afternoon. Anyway, I feel inspired to speak to us tonight about how, if God be for us, who could be against us? Romans 8, and we start verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now I'll tell you, dear ones, if you're on God's side, you don't have to be afraid of anything or anybody. If God's for you, He'll be with you. If we are pleasing Him, if we are doing His will, if we are trusting in Him, or if we are obeying Him, trusting in His Son Jesus for our salvation and following in His steps, and if we're on God's side, who can be against us? Let's notice a little more. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he didn't spare Jesus, but he let him be offered up for us as a sacrifice so that we could be saved, and then he brought him back from the dead, back from the grave, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places as our intercessor, how shall he not with him freely give us everything we need? We have proved that to be so in our life. God has been so good and gracious and helpful to us along life's journey. I just wish I could get everybody to do the same thing I've done. Amen. Praise the Lord. He goes on to say, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? In other words, who's going to put something on God's elect just to please themselves? Just don't work that way. Not God's chosen people. Who is he that condemneth? Somebody condemns God's people. We've got things working in our society today that's against what God's holy righteous saints believe in. We've got that working. Who's going to stand up against it? Let them come out and take us and shoot us and bury us and let them do that. If we're on God's side, we'll come out. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession, also maketh intercession for us. He's at the right hand of God, standing up on our behalf. Who was it that was being stoned and was being killed? And he looked up and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Remember, that was Stephen, wasn't it? And he just blurted out and said, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. It made his enemies more angry than ever. And they just kept on and they killed him. But he was seeing Jesus. He knew Jesus was there. Thank the Lord. Oh, I tell you what, dear ones, people have had to go through lots of things in this life. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Or distress? Distress is grief, something grievous and sad and hurtful and hard. Persecution? Look how they persecuted God's people down through the years in history. Read about it. People have been killed, thrown to the lions, and hung on the crosses, and just shot and all kinds of stuff. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. You find that in the 44th Psalm. All the day long we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. It's God's people. But if God be for us, let him do that. Who can be against us? Isn't that wonderful? Are you on God's side tonight? Yes. Are you living for Jesus? Are you walking in his steps? Are you following after him? Then you've got the King of Kings on your side. You've got Jesus. You've got a God Almighty on your side. Nay, in all these things, we are barely making it. No, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, the Apostle Paul was telling us, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Afflictions, troubles, losses, disappointments, hurts, nothing. Nothing is going to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. You need to live for Jesus. Young people, there's several young people here. You need to give your heart to the Lord when you're young and follow him. I've done it myself. The last 56 years I've lived for Jesus. Life goes by awful fast. Yes, amen. It sure does. I was 74 years old 2 months ago. I'm an old man. I feel pretty good though. The Lord helped me. He's on my side. He helps us. He blesses us. He comforts us, he inspires us in his word, he deals with us, he visits us in the night and the day. He's with us, he's just with us all the time. I ain't afraid to face life. I don't know what Obama and all the other guys are going to do in our government. No, I don't know, I'm not bothered about it. I don't even let it bother me. Because I know I'm on God's side. And if they rise up and put all kind of things on us and taxes and all this sort of a thing, my eyes are on Jesus because I know he's coming. One of these days he's coming in the clouds of heaven and he's going to bring all this nonsense to an end. And I'm on his side. Praise the Lord. I want to read a story. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's about a man that was thrown in a lion's den. You remember that story? In chapter 6 of Daniel. Daniel, it pleased this. What happened before the ruler? This is Babylon. Ruler of Babylon, Belshazzar, he's having a big feast and he had his women and he had his followers and they was all doing all kinds of things and he got in his mind and says, go get those golden vessels from the temple in Jerusalem and we're going to drink wine out of them. And so they got those golden vessels and they was drinking wine and all they was just having a big time. When all of a sudden, a hand began to write on the wall. And everybody in his knees began to shake. And he didn't know what was this, coming here. And so they're trying to get somebody, left a message there on the wall. The hand went away, but the message was still there. Many, 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 many. Tekel Upharsin. What does that mean? And so the old queen mother come in and she said, son, There's a man here that can tell you what that is. And she told him about Daniel. And he sent Daniel in here. Anyway, Daniel came in and he reproved that king. First, he told him how you have been off base with God. You haven't been doing right. You haven't paid any attention to some of the things that's happened before. And that hand is from God. And then he interpreted it. Many, God has numbered your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tickle, you're weighed in the balances and found wanting. You Farsen, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And that night, Belshazzar was slain. And Darius, the Medes and Persians king, took over the kingdom. And it says here, it pleased Darius to set over his kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these presidents, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They didn't like that. They didn't like Daniel being put over them. He's a Jew. He's an Israelite. And they seek an occasion against him. But they couldn't find anything. They could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. Daniel was a wise, faithful man. He knew how to do things. And they couldn't find anything wrong with what he was doing. So they said, these men said, here's what they said. We shall find no occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Oh, they don't know what they're getting into. They don't realize what kind of God Daniel has. He is a servant of the living God. He had already proven himself faithful and true. And God had been with him. And now they're going to find occasion about his God. So they go to the king. They assemble before the king. O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, they told a lie there because it wasn't Daniel wasn't included in this. Counselors and captains had consulted together to make and establish a royal statute. To make a firm decree, whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. He signed it. He didn't realize what they were doing. He went ahead and signed it. Anyone that makes a petition toward any other god or man besides the king will be thrown into the lion's den. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. That's like he always has done. Open up the windows. I don't know just how much he was in the sight of people out on the street, but somehow these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Ah, we've got him now. We've got him now. And they went to the king. And they came near and said, hast thou not signed a decree about this O king, any man ask a petition of any god or man beside thee for 30 days to be cast in the den of lions? The king says, this thing is true. And they answered and they said, that Daniel, which is of the children of captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree which thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these things, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun. I don't know whether he's just searching the laws and studying the precepts of the kingdom. Somehow he's trying to find some way of saving Daniel. He didn't want to throw Daniel in the lion's den. He loved Daniel. He esteemed him. But these men got him in this trap. Had him sign this decree. Then these men assembled unto the king and said, O king, the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. They got Daniel. They came and they put him down in that bunch of lions. We don't know how many lions there were. There were several. I have a picture. In fact, I have 2 different pictures that people have drawn about this. And I wonder if you've ever seen any of them. One of them shows Daniel standing before those lions looking at him. You ever saw that one? You see his hands are tied and he's looking on all these lions. They're looking at him. And the other one is Daniel answering the king from the upper window. The king is calling in to him, and all these lions are back here out in the back. Do you ever see that one? Those are 2 good pictures. But they took Daniel and they threw him in the lion's den. I have an idea that those men and their wives and their families had a big celebration that night. We got rid of Daniel. We got him sewed in the lion's den. Ha, ha, ha! And the king spake and said unto Daniel, verse 16, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. He loved Daniel. He had confidence in him. This was the new king. This was King Darius, the new Medes and Persians government. But somehow he got acquainted with Daniel. I don't know how. He must have had someone to tell him about Daniel, and then he got Daniel and began to investigate and talk to him. Anyway, he found, this is a man that I want to help run this government. But now, I've got to throw him in the lion's den. But Daniel, the God that you serve so faithfully, so continually, he'll deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lord, that the purpose may not be changed concerning Daniel. And then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Couldn't sleep. All he could think of was Daniel down in that lion's den. Throwed him in there. He probably saw him throw him in there. But he said, Daniel, the God you serve, he'll deliver you. Isn't that wonderful? Thank the Lord. Let's live for Jesus, young people. Let's give your heart to the Lord and live for Him in your life. Don't ever back up. If He's on your side, there's nothing will hurt you. He'll take care of you. He'll help you. Be faithful to Him. Pray to Him every day. Be diligent to seek His will concerning your life. Don't take things in your own hands and do your own thing. It doesn't work. Wait on the Lord. Learn to wait on God. That's what I have done. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you the truth. I've done that in my life. I've waited. I've prayed. I've sought Him about everything. Every move I've ever made. I sought His guidance and He has guided and directed me. When I went to seek the Lord about a wife, and I was praying about this young woman that come to Guthrie from California to work in the Faith Publishing House. I was praying about that. I was looking to the Lord. One day the Lord spoke to me and He showed me what to do. I tell you, young people, get in touch with God and do what He says. Obey Him. And the Lord told me, as I come down the road out west of Guthrie, I was driving a school bus. And every time I go, I went by it tonight. Every time I go by, I think about that day the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, Sylvia is the one I want you to have. But you must wait until I tell you to say anything to her about it. Oh, it was real. I tell you, dear ones, if God's on your side, He'll show you what to do. Listen to Him. Pray to Him. Open your heart to Him. And I was so glad and thankful. I just knew what the Lord's will was. And I thought in my mind, I thought it would be just 2 or 3 weeks and maybe He'll tell me I'd go ahead and start talking to her. Oh, no. Month went by. 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, 8. Nothing. Oh, I tell you, that's the hardest thing I ever went through. A year went by. And almost 2 years went by. And finally, the Lord spoke to me and showed me to go ahead and tell her. I couldn't hardly bring myself to do it. I'd held back and restrained myself so much, I couldn't hardly make myself do it. But the Lord spoke twice. He says, now is the time. You tell her. I tell you, dear ones, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's my text. Well, let's see what happened to Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. Very early in the morning, down there to the den of lions. What's he going to do? Why, he's put Daniel in the lion's den. You know there's not anything left to him. Yeah, but he said, your God will deliver you. He went down, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. A lamentable voice. Let's see what that means. A pained voice. Oh, Daniel! Daniel! Oh, Daniel! Servant of the living God. Is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? I love this. O King, live forever. Did you hear that? He's still alive. We'll get you out, Daniel. Oh, dear ones, that was wonderful. Oh, let's see what he said. O King, live forever. My God has sent his angel, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O King, have I done no hurt. Oh, dear ones, today, God, if God be for us, who can be against us? They put him in that lion. He stayed all night in that lion's den. I wonder if he got any sleep. We don't know. Nothing said. I wouldn't be surprised if he just laid down and went to sleep. And I don't know about that. Would you be able to do it? Oh, Lord, help. Spent all night there. And now another day has come and, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is the God you serve continually able to deliver you from the lions? Oh, King, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. And they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O King, have I done no hurt. I remember in my youth, one time we was having this in Sunday school. And one of the boys said, when he brought out how that God shut the mouths of the lions, one of the boys says, I don't see why it looked like they would have been able to just come on Daniel and just claw him to pieces. But no, he did more than just shut the mouths of the lions. He did more than that. He kept them in place and control. And they didn't even, I don't think they even tried to hurt Daniel. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. What is your God? Who is your God today? Is self your God? Is money your God? Is pleasure your God? You know that's the God of a lot of people. Daniel's God was the living, almighty Jehovah. That was his God. He served him. I hate to read this next verse. It's awful to think about, but they deserved it. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. Think about it. Their children, little children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and broke all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of them. Before they got to the bottom of the den, they had them all drowned up in pieces. There's a bunch of them, several of them. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, it is dominion, shall be forever unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Isn't that wonderful? God brought Daniel out. Oh, I just thought about, I'm not going to read it, but I just thought about the three Hebrew children. How that the king Nebuchadnezzar, he made a big image and he wanted all of his people in his kingdom, leaders and those in authority to come and bow down before this big. And there were three young men that were associated with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, while everybody else was bowing down before that image, they just stood up like this. And they came and taught word to the king. And the king had confidence in these men. He wanted to give them another chance. And they said, well, king, we're not even going to answer you. We're not going to be careful to answer you. The God that we serve will deliver us from the fiery furnace. And if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down before your image. And it made the king so mad. And he just got them and got men. He heated the furnace up 7 times hotter. And got his strongest men in the army to come and pick up these three men and take them and throw them into the furnace. And the furnace fire was so hot, it just leaped out and killed those men that threw them in there. And then he looked. Come here. You see what I see? I see not only three men walking up and down in there, but I say this, the fourth one, and the fourth one's like the Son of God. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come on out of here. Oh, they came out, and there wasn't a smell of fire on the garment. Their hairs wasn't even singed. It wasn't hurt. God spared them and brought them out. Now, Daniel wasn't with that group, come away. But here he had his time about, you don't worship your God, you worship the king. And you just don't worship. But Daniel went right ahead and opened his windows toward Jerusalem. How many times? 3 times a day. Did it 3 times. Maybe you, the person, has said, well, Daniel, just go back in here. In your room, and you don't have to do it out here. They'll see you. Right ahead. If God be for us, who could be against us? If you're going to live for Jesus, if you're going to live for God, nobody, and if you will be faithful, nobody's going to harm you. And if they do harm you, the Lord will take care of it, and he'll bring you through. Oh, I thank the Lord. My God is able to do all things. He's able to protect you. He's able to keep you well. In the time of, I remember one year we had the awful flu epidemic here at Guthrie. And we all just prayed that the Lord would take us through. And none of the saints that I remember took the flu. God will help us. God is our God. He's able to do everything. Amen. He can protect you. He can help you. Be encouraged. Pray to him. Serve him. Obey him. Let him lead you. You and your wife and your children have worship together. Pray to God. Don't neglect your soul. Be in service every time the service is there. Be right there. Be faithful to God. If God be for you, who will be against you? Thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for this wonderful account of Daniel and the many more we have in the Bible of those who went through hard places because of their faith. And then all down through the years, there's been people that have done that. I thank the Lord for them. I want to be in that number someday when we all gather. I don't know how it's going to be, but I know it's going to be wonderful. I want to be faithful to the Lord. Amen.